Well, hello, ladies, and welcome to this month's Mom's Night Out Online. I am Susan C., and always I am so glad to be with you here each month. I love that we get to come together and just have a time of sharing and encouragement from like-minded moms, moms who have a heart to be more intentional and on purpose, to pull away from the distractions and those things that scream out for our attention, but they're really only urgent matters. They're not necessarily the important matters. And we really want to focus on those things that God is calling us to be focused on, and we want to be truly intentional and on purpose so that we're in line with the purpose that God has put in our hearts and that he's put within our families so that we live true to that and we're not pulled in multiple directions. We're not pulled to the point of distraction and exhaustion, but we are compelled forward into a purpose that's bigger than we can ever imagine, to have an impact in our children's lives that will carry on to create a legacy. And it's always just a delight to be with other moms who have that same desire, because truly not every mom, not every person has that desire or even has that awareness yet. So to come together with other moms who support that, who desire that deep in their hearts, and who are willing to go before the Father and ask, how can we do that better each and every day? How can we live truer and truer into that? It's just a delight of my heart. So I am here every month because I want to create that connection, that gathering space for us to come together and do that. And I know that us getting together physically isn't always possible. We're in different places. We're in different seasons of our lives. Some of us have older children. Some of us have younger children. And our schedules might not allow us to get together in person, face-to-face. But instead of neglecting it and saying, well, it would never work, how about if we use technology and we just get together on the phone and we can call in from wherever we are and we can still come together and have this conversation. This like shot in the arm, this moment of encouragement to remind us that this is possible, that we can do it. The days might seem really, really long, really hard. We might be facing some incredible challenges, and we can be that encouragement for one another. Or maybe you're one who's sitting on top of the world right now. Things just seem to be going really well, and you can equally share your stories, and we can be encouraged and draw strength from your successes and your wins. And that's what this call is all about. So I love to come in, set the context, set us up to have a powerful, enriching conversation so that by the end, we have some nuggets for us each to pull away from the call, to be recharged and refueled and refreshed as we go forward. And tonight is going to be no different, because each month we have a theme, we have a focus. And this past month, we've been talking about inspired action. Our whole focus has been on inspired action. And what is that? Well, we defined it, and we said it's in divine influence to act. It's when we're divinely influenced to act. It's beyond just, ooh, that's neat. But something deep within us connects to another person or connects to a space that inspires something deep within us, and we are compelled forward to act. And so we've been on the search this past month for looking for people, places, and spaces and things that just inspire us to move forward in the purposes and the dreams and the goals that God's put within us. And God never fails. I know this past month I've been inspired in some ways that have been so deeply touching and moving for me. And it's exciting for me to come back and just reflect over this past month and reflect over the times when different people showed up in my life at just the right moment. And they would just say one thing or they would do something that would just stand out. And it was so neat to be able to connect that back to go, hey, I'm doing this amongst a whole group of other women who are also seeking out God for people and places that could inspire them. So one of those that I'd like to share with you all is I had a girlfriend who reached out to me during this month, and she and I have been really close for years. But in the past couple years, our schedules have really changed, and we haven't been able to really connect like we used to. We've just been really busy. Our schedules are opposite of one another now, so we don't get to see each other. So to get a text from her was so exciting. And she texted me and said, hey, a friend of mine owns a condo down on the beach, and we're going to go down for the weekend, and we wanted to invite you to go with us. And I was like, are you kidding me? Girl, give me 5 minutes. Like, I'm running around going, no, we don't have anything this weekend, do we? Like, that's my way of asking the family. Like, basically, say no, because I want to go to the beach. So it turns out our calendar was available, and I was able to go. And just being able to spend time with these two ladies who are strong believers, and we got to just sit and pray together. We got up every morning and went down to the beach and watched the sunrise. And it felt like at that time that the world was just going crazy. There was just so much madness happening in the news. And to just have that time to just sit with two other women who equally were feeling the weight of the chaos and the craziness, and we released it there in that space, that I was so inspired by her hospitality, by her generosity, by her openness and willingness to invite me in and completely take care of me, which was just so not my usual experience. I'm used to taking care of people. But no, these two ladies just took care of me for the weekend and really served me, and we had such a beautiful time that it inspired me to want to come back and just love more and care more and be able to pour out the peace that I had in my heart after that weekend. It's funny, as we were leaving her condo, you know, we've gone around, checked and made sure we got all the water turned off and cleaned up everything. We get in her car, and I say, I just want to apologize up front for leaving your place so messy. And she goes, what do you mean? We just, like, straightened up. What do you mean? I said, girl, I trashed your place. I left so many worries and cares and burdens all over your condo. And she just started laughing, and she goes, oh, honey, that is what this condo is for. Girl, you leave that junk in there, and it'll just wash out with the next tide. Don't you even worry about it. But I was like, I'm leaving so free, and I feel good. And that kind of experience just helped me to know that there are moments that we could miss if we don't take the time to be intentional, to seek out being inspired, looking for those opportunities, those people, those places and spaces that can inspire us. Not let them be one more to-do list. Let it not be about just what we get done, but about who are we becoming along the way. That's what inspiration is about. It's not about the doing, but who are we becoming as we're going along the way in our journey as a mom? And who will inspire the next step and the next move to move us forward on that journey? Who are the people? What are the spaces? So for those of you who were on the call last month, do you have an experience that you had over the past month, something that inspired you, something that touched you, changed you, really lifted you up, or gave you a new perspective? Maybe there's a book that you read or a quote that you've heard. Maybe there's a song that's stuck in your heart right now that's really helping you to move forward. I would love to hear from you. Anyone on the call who'd love to share, I'll open it up now.
Well, I'll share. It's in catchy. I actually got a chance to go to a wedding 2 weekends ago. A classmate of mine while I was in graduate school. And typically I go to weddings, and I'm happy for those who are getting married. And I know they're speaking their vows, and I think of my husband and things like that, but it never really touches me as deeply as it did this past time. And just really hearing how they express love uniquely from their perspective. This young couple is very, very smart. He's a physicist, and she's a researcher. And so they incorporate their elements of the work in how they express love to each other. And I just walked away just feeling challenged to fight for my marriage even more, you know, just in a sense of celebrating my husband, being reminded to rediscover who he is each and every day, because he's not the same man that I married 6 years ago, and always exploring and discovering new things about him. And so seeing somebody entering marriage and making that verbal commitment to each other to celebrate each other each day and discover something new and how to support each other each day just reminded me to do that for my marriage 6 years later.
Nice. Oh, that's so nice. I haven't been to a wedding in a while, but it's amazing how reflective you could get at those ceremonies, at a wedding or even at a funeral. You can become so reflective of your own life and really use that as a catalyst of inspiration if you're willing to step into that place. And weddings are just so can be reminders of such a powerful and amazing moment in each one of our lives of having that experience. And I love that you got to go to one. I'm in a place where this week I got an invitation to one of my friend's children's wedding, and I can't figure out how I'm old enough for us to have a child old enough to be getting married. I'm like, what is happening in my life right now? So, because I find myself saying things that old people do, like, girl, I remember you when you were so, anyway. Yeah, so I love weddings. So thank you, Nkechi, for sharing that. Anyone else have a share of an inspiring moment?
I'll share. This is Brandy.
Hey, Brandy.
Hi, I'm at the beach. So when you were sharing about washing your cares and burdens away with the tide, I'm like staring at the sunset, and I'm like, yes, yes, yes. I'm like, I can so identify. But I heard a line in a song this week that kind of brought me to my knees. And I wasn't even trying to be all spiritual, but I was having music playing, worship music. And there was a line in the song, and the phrase said, perfection is my enemy.
Mm.
And it just hit me like a arrow. And I was like, it is. It is my enemy. And it's an idol. And anyway, so it brought me to a place of repentance, but also freedom, but also inspiration that I'm not led by perfection. I can be led by the Lord, and he doesn't require me to be perfect, and I don't have to live to my standard, you know. And so anyway, but it was just a God moment. You know, I was not expecting it, but I, you know, it was just kind of like putting the laundry away, like, let's just kind of play some worship music, and then just bam. And I was like, oh, man. Thank you, Lord. So, but I just love how the Lord can just use, you know, a song or a verse, but that moment, that line in that song was exactly what I needed to just penetrate my heart, I guess you would say.
Oh, man.
So.
I love it. I love it. Well, I love that you're on the beach. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm loving that image right there.
Yes, I'm on the deck of the cabin looking at the sunset, hearing the waves, just really, and you know, all my family's like on the other side of the cabin, and I'm just like having a quiet moment here.
I love it. I am so happy for you right now.
Thank you. It's wonderful.
Okay. I'm inspired even in this moment. Like, yes. Okay.
Yes.
This is beautiful. And yes, you're exactly right. I don't know if all of you have had a chance to see the video that I did. What was that? Yeah, was that yesterday or recently? I don't know. It was a Facebook Live where I was talking about perfection. That was yesterday.
I think it was yesterday.
Where I had a good old laugh at myself, which is growth, because in the past I would have really gotten down on myself and been like, okay, Susan, you've got to do better. Like, come on, girl, get it together. And instead, I just laughed, like, are you kidding me? Look at that. I swear. Was like, you know, I don't drink alcohol, but I make drinks. I make jokes about drinking all the time. You would think I drink, but I don't. So. And I was like, you know, did I have a drink before I wrote that? Like, what is my story? The numbers don't make any sense, but that is hilarious to me. And that's just a real freedom that I feel in my life to be able to just laugh at my mistakes, point them out to others who may not have noticed. There might have been people who didn't even open the email yet but went and opened it because they were just like, well, what is she talking about? But it's just one of those growths in me where it's, I get it. And instead of resisting my imperfections and my mistakes and trying my best to cover them up as if I could ever cover them all, and as if I have the strength to carry the yoke of the call that God has on my life in my own strength, as if I could. I have tried for years. I have tried to do it, and if I would just focus, if I would just work harder, if I would just get on it, I could make this happen. And I know that God is a patient God because he gave life to me. And he knows that I will try my best to do it in my own strength. And he gets to wait. And sometimes I make him wait a long time because I think, nope, new strategy, nope, new idea, new technique, new approach. And it takes a while for it to get through. Oh, no, I can't do this by myself. Oh, you know, imperfections are just part of who I am. It's what makes me me, and I can embrace those and just celebrate those, and at least if I can't celebrate them yet, at least appreciate that they're there, and it doesn't mean anything about my value in God's eyes. It doesn't mean anything about my heart for the women that I serve when I make mistakes. It doesn't mean I don't care. It just means I'm human and I make mistakes. So I'm at that place now where I can celebrate those. And I want to pass that on to the moms who are connected to me because you're going to make mistakes too. And I want you to not beat yourself up and not think there's something wrong with you. Why can't you just get it together? But instead, be able to say, well, now I messed that up, didn't I? Point it out and embrace it and move forward and not be stuck and dig a pit and crawl into it and not, you know, sit down and put on a party hat and throw a pity party about it, but really be able to acknowledge it for what it is, say it is what it is, and still be able to move forward. That's being a powerful, intentional woman. That's what being that intentional mom is about, is that it's not about covering it up. It's not about hiding it, but being able to see it for what it is, seeing your imperfections, your mistakes for what they are, but also knowing that they don't define you. They don't define who you are. They don't define what's possible for your life. Your mistakes don't define what's possible for your children's lives. Let me say that.
Yes.
Your mistakes will not keep God's best from your children. What God has for them, he has for them. And you don't have what it takes to keep his blessings from your children. So if you're in a place where maybe you've made a mistake, maybe something has happened to one of your children and you feel like I should have been more careful or more watchful or more aware or whatever, and you feel like it's all your fault, maybe you've had a child who, you know, just been discovered to have an allergic reaction to some food and you've been feeding it to them all their lives and you had no clue. And you think, oh, my gosh, right? Or there have been parents whose children have been diagnosed with dyslexia, right? And they thought, oh, I thought the child was just being lazy or just being really resistant to learning and reading, and I just thought it was an attitude issue. I didn't realize they really struggled with
with their vision, and then they feel really bad, thinking, oh, man, how many times have we fussed at them and punished them and done all of this when they genuinely had an issue? It's like, yeah, you can acknowledge, man, I messed up with that. But then recognize that God's grace showed up, gave them the diagnosis so that they can get the help that they need. You can wash off the guilt of not knowing and move forward, knowing that God showed up and he gave the provision to make sure that their needs were met. So there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you've done that will keep God's best from your children. And let that be your prayer. Not so much that God needs to be told that, but that you can remind yourself as you talk to God about it. God, you're in control. You have my children's best interest at heart. You love them more than I ever could. And that baffles my mind because I love my babies a whole lot. But you love our children more than we ever could. And knowing that you love them, you still put them into our fallible, forgetful, sometimes selfish-hearted hands. You put them into our care, knowing our weaknesses. So at least the least we could do is trust you that you know what you're doing. Because on paper, that plan seems pretty poor. You take your precious children and you put them in the hands of people who truly have issues. I know I do. I'll speak for me. I know I have issues. So it's humbling to know that God entrusted them to my care. But how much more do I need to lean on him to direct me and lead me? But also to accept that he knows that I will mess it up. He knows that I will make mistakes. And he's already made provision even in the midst of that. So I'm going to trust that someone, either on the call or listening to the recording of this, needed to hear that encouragement and reminder, because that truly was not part of my inspired action notes, but it was really on my heart to share that. Because I think we as moms can really beat ourselves up sometimes when God already made the grace. He gave the grace for that. He's already made provision for those mistakes. And he's saying, come to me. I will destroy the yokes and the burdens upon you, and I will give you freedom. I will give you rest if you'll come to me. My grace is sufficient for you. He wants to be there for us, to comfort us, to lead us, to guide us, to correct us, if we will allow it and not resist that and not think it's all up to us. That's very burdensome. It puts a weight on our shoulders. And he wants us to be free. Motherhood can and should be fun. It should be a delight. It should be a joy. Is it hard work? Yes. And it does not have to be, wrinkled forehead, dropped jaws, heavy-weighted shoulders, burgeteers experience all the time. There may be days where we have that. But in Christ, we have our joy. In Christ, we have our freedom. In Christ, we have our redemption. In Christ, we have our healing. In Christ, we move and have our being. And when we try to do it outside of him, we experience the weight and the struggle and the hardness of it all. So if you're in a place where maybe it's gotten too weighty, go back to being in him in that you move. In him you make your decisions. Let that be your inspiration. May his word be inspiration. May worship. And I love that Brandy was saying that she was just had some music on and a line just came and just really touched her heart. Yes. Like, let the worship inspire you and maybe give you words if you don't have a word to pray, that there's a line in a song, there's a portion of scripture that just becomes the meditation of your heart. But allow those things to inspire you to move you forward in this journey of motherhood. Because we truly want to be inspired in what we do, not just under the yoke of to-dos and a long list of things we got to get done. But may the actions we choose to take be inspired deep from a place of God's calling us forward into the work that he has for us, not the work we think we should do. And there is a difference. There's things we think we should do, but God didn't necessarily tell us to do them. We think we should be a certain type of mother, and each one of us have this ideal mom in our heads of what that should look like. And we set off to rolling up our sleeves, and we crack our knuckles, and we get after it, and we go for it, and we start trying to be that mom. But maybe we should pause and ask ourselves, is that what God had asked us to do? Or is that a mom that we've defined we should be? And maybe that's why we're wearing ourselves out. If we're trying to be in the image that we've created in our own minds, but not necessarily the call that God has placed before us. Because, see, the call that God places on us, there's a grace to walk that out. There's a strength to walk that out. But when we try to do what's in our minds to do, there's no grace in that. That's all work. That's all toil. If you think back to the garden of Eden, you think about Adam and Eve, when they came under the curse, the first thing God said is that you will work by the sweat of your brow. That's part of that curse experience, right? And when we have in our minds, oh, well, I know what God wants, and we haven't asked him, I think this is what God wants for me, but we didn't ask him, we step out into work and toil and hardship and burden. But when we step into what God has and the path that he has set, there's a grace to walk it out. Notice I didn't say it was easy. I did not say if you walk out what God has for you, it's all tiptoeing through the tulips and it's lovely. No, what I am saying, though, is there's this inner strength, this grace, this sense of purpose to what you're doing that will allow you to move through the hardship where it doesn't feel so, it doesn't create this doubt in you like, what in the heck am I doing? With God, you go more like you're saying, God, what are you doing? I know you called me to do this. What are you thinking? If any doubt is happening, you're wondering, why did you call me to this? I would rather be a missionary in Hawaii right now, thanks. And I'd love to be on a beautiful beach in a beautiful home singing beautiful music for Jesus in Hawaii. God has not called me to that mission field, but, you know, I'd be open. So I'm going to check in with you ladies to see where you all are or what's on your minds. I'm going to open up the conversation. Anything stirring for anybody? Around mistakes or what inspires you or how you're defining what you should be doing as a mom? Anybody thinking anything along those lines?
This isn't catchy. This afternoon, I hit one of those moments. After being on vacation for a while and then going to the wedding by myself and then meeting up with family, my husband, and my little one, I got used to being able to get things done because my husband was around more often because we're on a trip together. And so today was like a quick reminder of how my days don't go the way that I hope for them to go. And so that kind of thing of just figuring out, okay, there's this that I want to get done, but what is God calling me to do right now? And I still personally have that struggle between the to-do list and things you want to sort of invest in yourself for personal development and just sitting there just thinking, I don't know if I can do both at the same time. So I end up getting paralyzed a little bit. And so I totally hear you, Susan, when you talk about really taking that time to just ask God, number one, what have you called me to do? today, in this day, in this moment? What do you have the grace for? And knowing that sometimes God gives you that grace to do the thing that you think is impossible, but He may make it possible. You know, my little one may actually stay still for a good 10 minutes so I can get to 10, or she will get distracted and not try to climb on something else that I have to, you know, catch her from. And but just, it's a good reminder of just taking that pause and actually inviting God into the space before you start your day, before you start your to-do list. You know, to say, God, what's on your heart for me today? And just leaning on His grace to do it. If you don't get it done, it's okay, but He'll provide another time, another space for those things to be accomplished, if they need to be accomplished in the first place.
Mm. Oh, good. That was so good. Anyone else?
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was like, I think for me, I really struggle with trying to balance myself, like what she was saying, kind of balance myself as a mom and the dreams that I still have inside of me is what I want to say. You know, I became a mom older, and I was a person who did a lot of things, and I thought, oh, I'm ready to kind of settle down and focus, you know, on my kids 100%, you know, have kids and focus on that and kind of see where that leads me. And I kind of forgot, you know, over years, like what was still inside of me. And lately, you know, God's been kind of like reminding me, like, there is this dream that I planted in you, and it's still in there. Like, and don't forget about it. Like, and I'm kind of like torn because I'm like, well, that's great. That's cool. And I want to do it. But, you know, I still want to be intentional with my kids too and be there for them. And, and you know, and I'm busy with, you know, I work and, you know, I have a husband. It's just, I have a lot. I feel like it's a lot at times to balance it all.
I can relate. I get it. I can so relate. Brandy, were you going to share something?
Oh, I was going to say the image of motherhood. You know, what when you were talking about that, I have thought about that so many times, and I even told Nkechi before, I said, you know, I actually looked up the definition of mom, mother, and there's not one. I mean, it just says, like, biological. It's just a biological definition. There is not a definition of what a mom should be, you know, like according to Webster, you know. I don't know what I was hoping would be there, but like when I read that, I was like, well, that, okay. So I was like, okay, Lord, I guess there's more to it, you know, and how am I trying to define this? Because obviously, you know, how I define it, you know, I'm going to live from that. So anyway, so it is a place of what God is calling me as a mom to do, and it may look different as another mom, and not to put those burdens of the image that I have of myself or what a mom should be, you know. So I love that you said that. That's something that's been on my heart for a long time. And I don't know who just talked about the dream part, but I heard a video about it was Bill Hybels' daughter talking about dreams and for women and, you know, just how important it is for us to still, you know, fuel those dreams. And those are God-given, you know, but it is a balance. And not to let those dreams die because we just feel like we don't have time for them, but just to kind of, it's something we just have to, like, hold and nurture. And then at that right time, you know, when God says, okay, now, you know, then we can go. But sometimes I have, for my own self, you know, just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not ever going to happen, you know.
Oh, I think you've been discovered.
Sorry. They found me. No.
They found you on the other side of that cabin. They said, there she is.
Oh,
Okay. And so, Brandy, that's Jennifer. That's the other mom who was just sharing, just so you know.
Okay, sorry, Jennifer. But anyway, so, but that also, the dream in your heart, too, like, that's also something I, and Ketchy and I have talked about, and I think all moms have that, you know. We don't want to lose those dreams that we know God has placed in our heart, you know, and mm-hmm. And how to, you know, when we are in the season of life of raising kids, and Susan, all the, you know, things that you do, you know, kind of also speak to that. So I guess what I'm trying to say is thank you, you know, for just the words that you speak, and they always speak to my heart. And, you know, but that image of the mom in my head is certainly not the image of a mom that God has in his head of me. Because it wouldn't be such a, I wouldn't be beating myself up. You know, God's not like a slave driver, you know.
Right.
So anyway, so I just wanted to say that. So. And
no,
sorry for the bombardment of the
I love it. This is real life. I love it. It's perfect. Because I could just picture you were sitting out there on that deck nice and quiet, and those little eyes came around that corner like, we found her.
Yes. I couldn't hit mute fast enough.
I love it. I think that what you all are sharing with one another, I'm just sitting over here smiling because I do wish sometimes we could get together face-to-face and just sit around and talk, and because we have so much in common, and we're all in similar spaces. And the biggest lie that the enemy can share with a mom is that you're the only one that feels this way. You're the only one that's dealing with this. It's just you. And that's such a deception, because we're all feeling that. We all have different dreams in our hearts. We all can have a critical voice in our head towards ourselves about what we're not doing right and what we need to do better and how we need to improve and all of these things that deep down we know it's not right, but it feels so real in the moment. And we have the desire to do more, but yet, you know, it feels like a struggle sometimes just to get dinner on the table. So you, then you think, how could I possibly do more? I barely fed them today. Like, what in the world? And the laundry, let's not even talk about it. So, I totally get that phase. And my belief is that we have these definitions. I love that you said Webster didn't have a definition for mom. I thought, oh, that's so perfect. That's truly how we would, like, let's go look it up. And we have this image in our head of what it should look like to be a mom and what that means, like there's this definition of a role. And I feel like God looks at us and calls us mother. Mm-hmm. He gave us that anointing and that call. We are that. It's not something we get to become. He put that mantle on us. He put that calling and anointing upon us as mother. We are that. Now, it's how do we live that out for his glory? It's not about something we need to go become and do. It's not a certification we need to attain. There's not a certain body of knowledge we need to know in order to now have the stamp of being mom. We are a mom. He called us that. He graced us with that title. There's nothing we could go do to go and get that. He called us that. Because there's plenty of women doing the action out there to become mom, and they're not one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's... Yeah. That God has a calling and a timing in that. And there are some moms, there are some women that he calls for adoption, and they become moms. They never physically gave birth, but in their hearts, that's their child. Where did that come from? My belief is that came from God. He placed that calling upon that woman and said, you are a mom. And then there are women in your life, right, where you just would identify them as a spiritual mother to you. Where does that come from? That is a God connection where there's this grace, there's this anointing that this is how Susan looks at it, that he puts upon a woman to spiritually mother another woman, to share life with her, to give out to them. It's the work that he's called me to. There's no way I could do what I'm doing without his grace. I wouldn't even have the thought to do it. I wouldn't have the words or the ideas that come to me in the middle of the night, or the times when you all are placed on my heart and I just start praying for you, or the times that I'm just looking at your Facebook pictures and just really excited and happy for you, or praying for you, or whatever God leads me to do for you. That there's just this connection that I feel to the ladies that he's put in my life. That's from him. And there's nothing that I need to go do in order to be a mentor. There's no official certification for that. There's no stamp for that. That's the call God placed on my life. And I feel the same way about being a mother, that's the call he's placed on me. Now I, day to day, get to walk out what he's called me to do in caring for them. But cooking them breakfast does not make me a mom. It's what I do because I am their mom, and because I love them and care for them, I cook them breakfast. I buy them clothes. I take them places. I read them books. But that in and of itself is not a mom. There are other people who cook and serve my kids. That doesn't make them a mom, right? You get what I'm saying? So
That's good.
Are a reflection of the heart that we have and the call that God has placed on us, but they don't make us that. I hope that's making sense, ladies.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's really good.
Awesome. Well, I hope that something in that really spoke to your hearts and encouraged you. Because if you're in the pursuit to become a good mom, I know I was in that for years. There are still times when I will slip and get distracted and think, I want to be a good mom, and then I'll catch myself even as I think it or say it. And I'm like, wait a minute. God already called me a mom. And when God calls something, come on, we can go back to Genesis again. When God created, every time he created something, he called it what? He called it good. Mm-hmm. God created the sky. And he created light and separated darkness. And he called the first day he called it day and night, and he called it good. He created the things on the ground. He called it good. He created the animals. He called it good. So I choose to believe that when he calls us good. He says good. He blessed us with good. So we already are good mothers. We don't need to do another thing to go attain that title. Now our work is to walk out the call that God has placed upon us. Our work is to trust him that he will provide for the needs that we have and the needs that our children have. That we don't have to do this in our own strength, and we're not out here alone. That is our work, if anything. Our work is not laundry, dishes, dinner, errands, school activities, being a part of PTO, anything like that. That's not our work. We do those things in walking out the call that God has for us, but those things don't make us a good mom. Those things don't make us a mother. That's not the whole sum of it. The sum of it is because God said, because God called me to this, because God is ordering my steps, I do these things. But I don't do these things in order to be a good mom. Because have you ever done something to be a good mom and that mess falls apart? I'm going to take the kids to Chick-fil-A, and it's going to be great. And we get there, and like three other field trips are at the Chick-fil-A, and now it's kind of rowdy, and we're trying to sit here, and it's not exactly fun, and the kids aren't having a good time. And then they came home with a stomach thing, and you're thinking, what in the world? This was supposed to be delightful. Instead, I'm frustrated. The kids are irritated. Not one of them is sick. Blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, what? No, because the motivation in that was I was trying to be a good mom, so I took them to Chick-fil-A. Well, taking them to Chick-fil-A doesn't make you a good mom. God makes that call. God gets to call things good. And out of our acceptance and understanding that we've been called by him, do we move and do we do things in the care of the children he's placed in our care? It's stewardship over their hearts and lives. There are things that we do and opportunities we provide and good gifts that we bless them with. And even being able to share those experiences with them with that language, that they didn't have to earn the Chick-fil-A. And don't hear me, like if you're doing that, like, hey, I want you to do well in school, so, oh, look, you got good grades, we took you to Chick-fil-A, that's cool. But what I'm saying is there's nothing our kids have to do for us to want to do good things for them, for us to want to take them to fun places and give them fun experiences. It's just because they're our children. But they didn't have to do something to earn being our children. There's nothing that they have to do for us to want to love and bless them and serve them and care for them. They're just simply our children. We want that for them. And God looks at us in the same way. He says, I just love you, Brandy. I just love you, Nkechi. I just love you, Jennifer. I just love you, Jerry. I love you. And you are good enough, just as you are. And as you continue to walk with me and fellowship with me and talk with me and spend time with me, I will continue to reveal myself to you, and you will get to know me more, and you will have more of a heart like mine, and we will be in sync, and we will be in conversation throughout the day, and I will share things with you, and I will teach you things, and I will call you to serve people in ways you never thought you ever would, if you'll trust me. And we'll begin to know that those dreams that he's placed within our hearts, they're no accident. He placed them there. Now we get to trust him with the timing. Because right now, just because it's not right now doesn't mean it's never. We go through seasons of our children's growth and times where they really need us. And then there'll be times when he'll say, now's the time to move. Now's the time to go out and serve. Now's the time to live into that dream and begin to see it become reality. But please don't mistake a delay for denial, because he's not denying you that. He's just delaying it and saying, not now. But that does not mean not ever. If the dream is in you, seek him for what he's telling you about that dream. Pray to God about that dream. Journal about that dream. Talk to him about that dream. And he will begin to reveal what it is that he even wants you to do with it. And how it's to come forward. And when. But you're carrying that in your heart because he placed it there. That's my belief, is that those dreams come from him. Those gifts that are within you, those talents that are within you, he placed them there. And in God's economy, nothing is wasted. He doesn't waste a thing. You know, for the past, gracious, for 16 years, if I could even use this language, which I struggle to because it's so not a part of me anymore, but I was just a stay-at-home mom. That was my main focus, was just taking care of my children. Nobody knew my name. Nobody really knew what was happening in my world. Those times when we were here and we were driving, our family had just one car, there were times when people physically never saw me, because I just didn't have the transportation to get out. So if they weren't, like, on my street when my kids and I would just walk to the end of the street to a little park or something, they didn't see me. Nobody knew me. There was no book. There was no website. There were no recordings and videos. There was no speaking and traveling. None of that was happening. But during that time, I had several dreams come up in my heart. I had visions of things that I wanted to do. And I would get frustrated sometimes because I thought, man, I can't even get a decent night's sleep. I can't even put a full sentence together. I don't know how I could begin to even make these things begin to happen. So I would write some things down, put them in a book, lose the book, don't know where the book is, and I would just move on and keep going, keep spending time with God, keep loving and serving my babies, training them up in the right ways, according to His word, telling them that it's more about your character than just your education. Just the knowledge is not going to carry you through life. You need wisdom. Teaching them all of these principles about relationships and communication skills and listening skills, all of that was part of what I was doing when nobody knew me. And then suddenly, and that's exactly how it felt, I remember a woman in the church telling me, God takes a long time to do something suddenly. Because I told you I was home 16 years before He said anything. And I suddenly felt like He was saying, go. Now's the time. And the funny thing is, I thought I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something until He said go. And then I kind of felt like, what? Now? I got 7 kids, and I'm homeschooling them. And, like, how could I even? Now I'm questioning His timing. I'm like, I don't think this is a good time. But it's a perfect time in God's eyes because He knows without Him, I can't do this. He's got me in a place where 7 kids, my parents living across the street, and they need care and help and attention. And without Him, this whole thing would fall apart. And He knows that. And He says, this is the perfect time, and I call you. So what do I have to do to be a good mentor and a good speaker and a good leader and a good friend? Nothing. Because God called me to this. And He has already made all the provision that I need in order to walk this out. Now, when He says, make a video, I make a video. When He says, pray for this person, I pray for them. When He says, write this down, I write this down. That is my work. I hope this is encouraging somebody. That is my work. It's to follow His lead, to walk out the path He's laying before me in His timing. In His way. Is it always what I think? No. Do I have genuine freak out sometimes with God because I think, what are we doing? This makes no sense. This is not following any of the business advice I've gotten from so many different people. Yes, I absolutely do have my freak out moments. You could ask some of my closest friends because they get to witness them, where I am on the verge of tears. Because I feel like I don't know if this is going to work out. And I know God is just sitting there just smiling like she's in her head again. When she drops back in her heart and she connects to me, we'll be good. And every time, that's what I get to do, is just trust Him. So, Mama, if you're carrying a dream in your heart, you know, I want you to know deep in your knower that God placed that dream there. And in His good and perfect timing, He will bring it forward. He has already created all the provision you need to walk that dream out. And so He's making the space for you to have that and work and have that experience in a way that it works. Versus it being a burden and a work for you. That it has a sense of flow and ease. So I'm going to check in with you ladies again. Is any of this making sense? Is this speaking to your heart? Is there something that you would love to share? Because I'd love to hear from you.
All I got to say is you're spot on. I mean, I don't have anything else but to just listen to your words. It's just spot on. I'm just really trusting God with the timing and the dreams and stepping out of faith, but trusting Him with the result and walking it out with Him. So thank you for sharing.
So good. How about you, Jennifer? Did you have anything?
Yeah, it's really hitting home for me and kind of reminding me, like, that I just need to lean into him more and really just you know, lean into him and wait on his understanding versus my own, you know.
Yeah, I do know. I do know. Yes, I do. Wow. Well, I am glad to know that the words that he put on my heart to share with you all are really connecting, because that's what this is all about. For me, it's not about bullet points and tips and ideas and that kind of thing with my own prescribed agenda, but God knowing the needs that are on your heart and then me staying sensitive enough to him to speak what he wants to say to you so that you truly hear him and not me, not my wisdom, not my words, but his heart for you through my voice, that you feel encouraged, that you feel loved and supported, that you feel heard, that you feel like this is a safe place for you to take off the burden and the yoke and lay it down and walk away and be free. Free to pursue him, free to live with joy and a little kick in your step, and to really say, you know, it really is going to be all right. God really is in control. It's not so far gone as it felt like before. It's not as bad as I thought. It's not as, we haven't missed it too bad. We haven't gotten too far out there. All of those things that we might feel when it's just us, when we're just there with that critical voice in our head. But it's not that. So over this past month, we've talked about inspired action. We've talked about how we can have people around us, and we can have music around us or spaces that we get to go where we get to be inspired, where we get to reconnect to what God is saying to our hearts. And then walk in that, lean into that experience versus resist it or turn away from it or just be unaware of it. You know, so much of what I teach and what I talk about as moms with being intentional is about our attention and our awareness around our lives, that we're in tune and in touch with the purpose that God has for us, and we're walking in that. And we're allowing all the other things to fall away because ultimately they don't matter. They're a distraction. And so I love that we got to catch up and share on that. So in these last few moments, I just want to talk about what we're going to be doing for this next theme and where we're going to go from here. So I'm going to, in September, be in Dallas on September the 24th. And I look forward to, if you can make it, I would love you to come. I'll be doing the Intentional Mom Workshop there at Trinity Church in Dallas. And there's a Facebook event page there, and you can go and read about the dates and information there. And the registration should be opening up soon for that, and you can be a part of that and sign up and come. I think it would be fun if some awesome ladies got together and carpooled up there. That would be fun. We could make up a weekend of that. But there's that coming up, and then I'll be right after that event, just a couple of days later, heading to Minnesota to speak at the MOPS International Conference this year. And so there'll be a lot of travel coming up for me in September. And beyond that, there'll be some other big opportunities that I'm preparing for. So all that to say, I think that this next month we're going to do some intention setting. We're going to be doing some intentional mom challenges using more of the Facebook group that I've set up. And I think that most of the ladies that were here on the call are in that group. And if you're not really active on Facebook, this might be a time for you to start checking in more. Because for the month of August, we're going to use the cards that I created. If you're unfamiliar with the cards I created, you want to go to my site. If you go to the shop page on my site, and you could see that I have a card set. One is a question that intentional parents ask their children, and the other one is 27 ways to build a rock-solid relationship with your children. And really, those cards are all about simple ways to be intentional. So I thought for the month of August, starting on August 1st, why don't we take a card a day and do an intentional mom tip? And I'm going to be doing check-ins on our Facebook group where I every day issue out the challenge, and then we go through that challenge for the day and we move on to the next one. If it's something that you really love, you can actually keep it going. You're welcome to do that, but I will issue the challenge using one of the cards each day for the month of August, and I think it's going to be so fun and so powerful, especially as we're getting geared up. Summer getting ready for the kids to go back to school. Summer is winding up. It's like the brain starts to shifting more into the routine for the fall, and I thought, what a simple way to get intentional with just one little tiny challenge a day. Something really beautiful. So to give you an idea of what that might look like, our one of the tips or one of the challenges is give thanks. And it's like you're going to have each person in a family share at least one person or place or thing that they are grateful for today and tell your family how much you appreciate each one of them and why. So you'll have them share something they're grateful for, and then you'll share why you're grateful for them. And that will be one of your intentional challenges for that day, just to give you an example of one of them. So that's one of the things that we'll be doing for the month of August. And then beyond that, I'm really in prayer about whether we'll continue to do this by call or if I will just start doing more Facebook Lives with a set time for you to meet up with me if you want to be there when I'm live. And I'll be able to share because I wanted to do a wisdom series this fall. And the wisdom series will be comparing two things, like hospitality versus entertainment, which is a big one for me. And I think there's just some powerful lessons in that. Rest versus sleep. Really comparing two words that we use commonly, but really breaking them down and sharing them I always finish up the teaching when I do one of those with wisdom is knowing the difference. And that's why I want to call it the wisdom series for this fall. And we're going to take several of those comparisons through this fall. And I think that you guys can give me some feedback, whether you want to keep doing it by phone or whether you like the idea of a Facebook Live. And I welcome you to, I'll actually post that question in the group and you guys can respond there. And that way some other ladies can weigh in. But I'm always looking for ways that I can best meet you all where you are, serve you in deep, meaningful ways, really create a connection. And I want to do that wherever that is. So if it's easier for you to do that there on the Facebook, or if you'd rather see video where you can actually see me versus just hear me, whatever that is, I'm open to serving you all well. So I'm going to open it up one more time if you guys have any feedback on anything that I just shared. Or if you have any questions or just something you'd like to say. Okay. All right. So I'm going to trust that all is well on your end, ladies. And before we go, I'd like to close this out in a prayer, and that will be our Mom's Night Out for tonight. Lord God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for meeting us here, for sharing your love, pouring out so graciously upon us, encouragement, building up our courage, building up our confidence, building up our knowing that you have already called us, and knowing that you've equipped us with everything we need and made provision for everything we need and that our children need, and we get to do the simple act of trusting you. It's so easy for us to say we trust you, God, but it can be so challenging for us to walk that out. Continue, God, to pour out your grace upon us to walk out the call you've placed on our lives, to trust you, to seek out your still small voice in the chorus of noise and distraction that's all around us. Help us to hear your voice to stay close to you, to desire to live close to your word, to read your word and spend time in worship with you, to hear your message of truth when all around us is so many messaging and lies and distractions. I pray, God, your peace, your love, your joy on these moms and their families and their households. May you, God, be glorified. May you, God, be put first. May you, God, continue to lead and guide them in the pathway of truth and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, ladies. Well, you all have a fantastic night, and I will talk to you next time.